This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. I will be reading from the King James Version. And it reads, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things." Again, I have read for you Galatians chapter 6, verses 2 through 6. May God continue to bless those who hear his will, but especially those who do his will.
We're grateful to be here on this morning, so thankful for those of us who have gathered. We know that there are other places that you could have been, but you chose to be here this morning. For that, we're thankful. Hope, pray, and trust that all is going well. When we think about the theme for the month, we have been talking about servanthood. And I must be transparent, when the tragedy took place on this week, I altered some of my thoughts and wanted to bring a lesson that I believe that would help us as it relates to our responsibility to humanity when things like this happen. And I'm not talking about directly as it relates to the families that are involved, but all of us. Because when situations that happen like what happened this week in Uvalde, it affects all of us in one way or another. I told a person on this week and said, "I don't know how you can not weep with the situation that took place this week, because humanity was affected." And so as I was thinking about that, I thought about the book of Galatians, and I want to capitalize on the idea of tragedy, because the church at Galatia had some tragedies that took place from a spiritual perspective. And we'll make some comments before we get into the lesson. But in Galatians chapter 1 and verse number 8 through 10, Paul was 6 through 10 rather, Paul was getting on the brethren there, and he said in verse 6, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ." Now watch this tragedy, "unto another gospel." That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy to know that someone else was preaching another gospel, and that the brethren, Brother Chad, was falling for that other gospel. They were falling for being circumcised, identifying themselves with the law of Christ. Chapter 2, we see another tragedy. And that tragedy was them wanting to be circumcised. And we see that in verse number 7, because we see that the Judaizing teachers were compelling the Christians to be circumcised, identifying themselves with the law of Moses and the law of Christ. And so the Apostle Paul actually gets on them because of this tragedy, if you will. But in chapter 3, in verse number 1, he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Who tricked you? Who caused you to think something that was contrary to the doctrine, the gospel of Jesus Christ?" That's a tragedy, brethren. We know that there are some physical tragedies that take place amongst us. But it's a true tragedy when someone can convince you to go against the will of God. That's a true tragedy. In chapter 4, we see in verse number 17, we see another tragedy. And that tragedy is that you had these Judaizing teachers, and what they were doing, they were excluding. They were getting the people to be excluded, the Christians to be excluded, in order for them, the Judaizing teachers, to get glory. You know, God has brought us out of sin in order for him to get glory, not for men to get glory. And so notice what he says in verse number 17. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yea, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. For them. It's a tragedy right there, brethren. It's a tragedy. In chapter 5, he says something that's very interesting as well. Because when we understand tragedies, look at verse 7. He says, you ran well. Who hindered you? Who hindered you? You have to ask yourself this question. Who's hindering me from obeying the gospel of truth? It's a tragedy when that takes place. But then in chapter 6, we see one more tragedy. And that tragedy is that they were being deceived. Yet God is not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Brethren, we think about the church at Galatia. Lots of tragedies were taking place, just like in our land. And so I want us to consider, just for a few minutes, as we are talking about bearing one another's burdens. Brethren, we have a responsibility to all men. I'm talking about members of the church. I'm talking about Christians. As Christians, in Galatians 6 and verse number 2, we're supposed to be bearing one another's burdens. So fulfilling the law of Christ. Bearing each other's burdens. The context, of course, there is dealing with the church, and we understand that. But we have a responsibility to all men, Galatians 6 and verse number 10. As you therefore have opportunity, do good, watch this, unto all men, especially those in the household of faith. Brethren, we have a responsibility to bear one another's burdens. But if you go up 5 verses, we need to be bearing our own burden. You know, in order for me to truly help someone else with their burden, I have to make sure I'm bearing mine. I got to bear my burden. And so we have a responsibility to all men, loving our neighbor as ourselves. Cannot get into a corner and act like things are not happening in our world. They are happening. What are we doing to comfort those who need comfort? 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 and following. But Paul would say something to Timothy. If you will, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. We, as the people of God, have a responsibility to be going to God in prayer on behalf of those in the world. God loves those in the world. He wants them to turn from their wicked ways, their evil ways. But those who are hurting, God desires for those who are hurting to be comforted. Why? Because he's the God of all comfort. Therefore, exhort. Verse number 1, therefore exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks, notice the idea here, be made for all men. All men. God cares about all men. There's not a man on the face of the earth that God doesn't care about. That wicked young man that killed those 21 people this week. Bible teaches us in Ezekiel 18, I believe it's verse number 20 and following, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Neither should we. We should have no pleasure when someone wicked dies in their sin. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 13, the reason why we're given today is to help all men, not just saints, but all men, all men. Brethren, we ought to always keep in mind that God has a desire for all men to be exposed to his truth. And so we have the responsibility to do that. What's our responsibility? In Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1, verse 7, verse 14, 15, and 16. I want us to take notice of these passages. In Galatians chapter 5, what's our responsibility? Our responsibility as the people of God, as servants, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of turmoil, hardship, heartache, is to stand fast in the Lord. I had a brother tell me on Wednesday, he called me, "Hi, how you doing?" "Man, I'm sad." He said, "Mike, keep your eyes on Jesus." And I thought about that. I said, "You know, he's right. He's right. We've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We've got to stand, therefore, in the liberties which Christ has made us free. Don't be entangled in the yoke of sin, in the yoke of bondage. If we're not careful, we'll allow our minds to go to a point where God doesn't want it to go. And so in verse number 7, we cannot afford to be hindered, as we said earlier. Our faith cannot afford to be hindered. We have to stay focused on why we are here. And that's to glorify God, Ephesians 3:20. That's to go out and seek and save the lost, Luke 19:10. That's to make sure that we build up one another in the most holy faith, Jude 20. That's to provoke one another unto love and good works, Hebrews 10:24. Brethren, we got to stay focused. Mike, you got to stay focused. We all got to stay focused. We have that responsibility. But look at verse 14 and 15. In verse 14 and 15, we see our responsibility. Our responsibility as servants, notice, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Brother Mike, what are you saying? What's your point in this point? My point in this point, brethren, is that our neighbor is anyone that we come across. If that would have happened to a member of the Lord's church, or maybe someone would come in and do something as heinous as an act such as that, all of us would gather around them. Brethren, we have to make sure that we are encouraging our fellow man. I found it very interesting. The very next day, Sister Evelyn said, "Are you going to the gym today?" I'm kind of tired, but I think I need to go. And I'm glad I did. I was able to have a few conversations, Brother Dustin, with some people that were struggling. Brother Mike, why? I don't know. I do know this: sin takes place, and men have the ability to make decisions on their own. God has made us free moral beings to be able to give people scripture and concepts and ideas, to have conversation in order for them to see, you know what? This is not God's doing. And brethren, that was the point right there. That was the point that I wanted to make sure that people did not have in their mind, that how could God allow these things to happen? Because he gives man free moral agency. And so it reminds me of the words of Jesus in John 10 and verse number 10, for the thief come but not to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And so anytime things like this happen, tragedies like this happen, Brendan, we have to keep in mind Satan is behind that, not God. And so in verse number 16, we're responsible for what? Walking according to the Spirit's teaching and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The more I was considering this, I was thinking, brethren, we have to be helping one another. We have to encourage one another. We have to build up our families. And just as the brethren at Galatia needed to be encouraged, built up, strengthened by the word and through the word, we too must be strengthened by the word and through the word and with one another. God has always cared for all men. Why? Because all men are made, watch this, in the image of God, Genesis 1, verse 26. In the image of Adam, Genesis 5, verse 2 and 3, which demonstrates to us that God cares. And so Paul cared about the church at Galatia. He was the one that brought them to Christ. He was the one that showed them Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he was bothered that they themselves were being persuaded from the gospel. As a matter of fact, it would be the Apostle Paul that would say that I was the one that brought you to Christ. And you're allowing this to happen? I was the one that taught you the truth. And you're allowing these false teachers to come in and resurrect the law of Moses in your life? How dare you? And here we are as the people of God who go out into the world that is full of tragedy. We need to go out there and tell them God is not responsible for that. Don't blame God. I was talking to a young man a few weeks ago. And we was talking about some of the problems that's in the world today. And I said, if we're not careful, what happens is that people see all these problems and they blame God. God is not the cause of the problem. God desires peace in the lives of all men. The problem is that Satan wants to corrupt the world. And so I want us to consider, because when we think about the world being full of tragedy, look at Job 14:1. In Job 14:1, we find our great man of God, Job, says something about mankind. And it's still true today. Remember, Job was a patriarch. He did not live under the law of Moses. He did not live under the law in which we live under today. So he probably said this some 4,000 years ago, long time ago. It's still true today. He says, man who is born of woman is a few days and watch it. Full of what? Full of chaos. Full of trouble. Full of tragedy. And here we're talking about a man that went through all of it. And we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But brethren, we know that the world is full of tragedy. And anytime our society or a society keeps their eyes off of God for a long period of time, you'll begin to see these things. We know, I believe it's Proverbs 14:34, if I'm not mistaken, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. That's still true today. You want to know why there's so many travesties going on in the world? Not just in the United States of America, brethren, but in the world, people have walked according to their own understanding, Proverbs 3, verse 5. When Jeremiah said, oh Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walks to direct his steps, Jeremiah 10:23. And so when we continue to walk away from God, God says, you're going in the wrong direction. The world is full of tragedy today. Societies have saturated them, their lives with violence. And just like in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6 and verses 5 through 11, they have caused turmoil in their lives. And when turmoil, watch this, becomes unfettered, people begin to question whether or not is there a God. Brother Chad, there is a God. He's in heaven. He's still reigning and ruling in the kingdoms of men, Daniel 4 and verse 16 and 17. But look at Proverbs 29 and verse 18. In Proverbs 29 verse 18, Solomon would say this. Let me make sure that's Solomon. I don't want to assume that's Solomon. I don't know who that is, but I know he's inspired. Let me say that then. That's why you have to be careful. Brother Scott, that's one of those hermeneutical points right there. Sometimes we can assume that we know who wrote something. Nevertheless, it's still true because whoever it was, he was inspired. Notice what he says. Where there is no revelation, watch this, the people perish. They cast off restraint. You know what the proverbial writer is saying? When God's word is not in the midst of the people, they do what they want to do. Brother Royce, is that what we're looking at today? Is the world full of tragedy today? Better believe it is. Yet the light of the gospel is still in the world today. You still have the light of the world in the world today. Who's the light of the world? The Church of Christ. The gospel is still in the world today. How do we know? We're preaching it. We're offering hope in the midst of despair. We're offering salvation in the midst of being lost. Brethren, we know for a fact that God wants spirituality and morality to be yelled loudly from the housetop, from the pulpit, yet they want it to be silenced. And so when we stop and we consider some of these things, point number two, heartache is part of life. It's just part of life. You can't get around it. When we stop and we consider the sufferings, the heartaches, the anxieties, the pain, the evil, it's all part of life. You can't get around it. When Eve partook of that fruit in Genesis chapter 3, she turned the world upside down. When Adam partook of that fruit, he turned the world upside down. The Bible demonstrates to us that Eve was deceived. The subtle one, he tricked her, deceived her into partaking of the fruit. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 3 and following. when Adam partook of that fruit, watch this point. He brought sin into the world, Romans 5 and verse number 12. God gave Adam the law. And when he partook of that fruit, he listened to his wife. His wife listened to the serpent, and no one was listening to God. Everybody got out of their role. Here's the point. You want to know why heartache enters into the life of some, S-O-M-E, is because they leave their role. You leave your role, you will have heartache. However, make no mistake about it. We know for a fact, and I'll get to this point here in a second because I believe it's necessary. We know for a fact that sometimes heartache, anxiety, hardship, pain, and evil enters into the life of people, yea, children of God, through no fault of their own. Amen. And so don't be like Job's friends who said, you must have done something that was false. Evil, pain, and suffering, heartache, anxiety may enter into our lives even as children of God, even as Christians, members of the Lord's church, and we've done nothing wrong. Those parents did nothing wrong sending their children to school, Royce. They did nothing wrong. And I know for a fact that there's probably a parent that said, I wish I'd have kept my baby at home. You know that. You can't blame yourself for something you didn't have control over. Let me say this. Let me drop this bomb off as I'm flying over. Had a guy who's hurting right now because his daughter told him, because you are a gun owner, you're part of the problem. Brethren, that's false. Unless I fired it myself, I'm not the problem. Every man must make their own decision. Every woman must make their own decision. Why? Because God again made us free moral agents. Heartache is part of the problem. In Job chapter 1, verses 5 and following. Job chapter 1, verses 14 through 18 rather. Here we find that Job, he lost his livestock. His servants was killed in verse number 15. His children, watch this, were tragically killed. He did nothing wrong. And his friends had the audacity, as Job would call them, miserable comforters. Y'all remember that? They had the audacity. You sinned. Brethren, that's not true. And if you ever come across someone that goes through a tragedy through no fault of their own, instill that within them. Tell them that. Tell them all the time so they're not beating themselves up to their own hurt. Job got to a point even in his life that he began to question his own mentality. Job, don't do that. But brethren, even the best of us will do that. David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse number 18. Now, I want to say this softly because it's a sensitive subject. David lost his son. Remember, he sinned against Bathsheba. In 7 days, his son died. You remember what he did? He didn't eat. I bet you he was sobbing all the time. But when he knew that the son was dead, he got up, he cleaned up, he ate, and he said, I can go be with him, but he won't return to me. Notice the comfort there. Amen? Brethren, that's comfort right there. The spiritual mind is looking for comfort. Brother Mike, what are you saying? I'm saying that time and chance happens to all of us. And we have to be mindful of that. We have to be sensitive to that. Yet we find in 2 Samuel chapter 18 verses 1 through 34, David loses another son, Absalom. Y'all remember him? Good looking man, long pretty hair, after his father, trying to take his kingdom from him. this hare gets caught up in a terebinth tree. He's sitting there laying, well, he's hanging from his hair from a tree. And he has to be killed because of what he was about to go do, take the kingdom from his father. I want you to look at something real quick. Go to 2 Samuel 18. Here we find David, a man after God's own heart, king of Israel. He says something very interesting. I remember when I first heard this, a brother in San Antonio was preaching a meeting. I was a young father. And I remember he was making these points about a father's relationship to his children. And he says in verse number 28, so Ahimaaz called out and said to the king, "All is well." Then he bowed down with his face to the earth before the king and said, "Blessed be the Lord your God, who has delivered up the man who raised their hand against my lord the king." The king said, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" You drop down to verse number 31. Then the Cushite came, and the Cushite said, "There is good news, my lord the king, for the Lord has avenged you this day of all those who rose against you." And the king said to the Cushite, "Is the young man Absalom safe?" Verse 33, then the king was deeply moved and went up to the chambers over the gate and wept. And he went and said thus, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son, my son Absalom, if only I had died in your place. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." This man was hurting. What does that tell us? That in the midst of tragedy, we need somebody that's going to come comfort us. But this man was hurting. He lost his son. Even though he knew his son was out to kill him, he was hurting. Brother Mike, what are you teaching? Brethren, when people are in hardship, they're hurting, we ought to be looking for opportunities to help them. Just never know, they just might remember you in a year, 2 years, 10 years, you were there for me. There's your opportunity to teach and preach the gospel. In Ecclesiastes 9, verse number 11, as we said before, time and chance happen to all men. David did not ask for that. He didn't ask for what happened to Absalom. I believe he did ask for what happened to his first son, because he sinned with another man's wife. He asked for that. You know, there's some things we do, the consequences should follow, and they do. I want to talk about this, being servants in the midst of tragedy. What does it mean? What does it look like? You think about the church at Galatia and what they was going through. They was falling away from Jesus Christ. Paul had to come and remind them, you obeyed the gospel. You didn't obey the law of Moses. You need to be walking straight. You are being hindered. You know what they was looking like? They was looking like a group of people that didn't love God. And here come the Apostle Paul. He even had to rebuke Peter to his face because he was playing the hypocrite. Brethren, what does servanthood look like in the midst of tragedy? Well, in Paul's case, it looks like a man who loved God enough to say something to Paul, to Peter rather, and the brethren at Galatia. You know, true servanthood. Now watch this point, brethren. This is a hard point. I know this is a hard point because we struggle with this point. A servant of God in the midst of tragedy is going to say something. You remember a few weeks ago, you had that police officer who helped her boyfriend get out of jail and jumped them into the police car, and well, it was found some 700 miles away. Y'all remember that? And it was the owner of the car wash. He saw the video and he called and they interviewed him and he said something. Watch this. He said, "If you see something, what? Say something." Bro, you know one of the hardest things to do is to say something when we see something, because we don't want to offend no one. We don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. Well, they're already going through enough. I don't want to add to it. You never know what you are saying might help them. If they're in sin, you want to help them come out of sin. So what does this mean? What does it look like? How can I maintain the servanthood mentality even in the midst of hard times? Let me show you something. By bearing the burdens of the brokenhearted, being friends, being the friend who champions God's wisdom, being a servant, even when it's difficult. Now, when we think about being servants in the midst of tragedy, bearing one another's burdens, the brokenhearted. Brethren, it's a skill to work with people who are brokenhearted. You know how it is when you're brokenhearted. You don't want anybody just handling you. I can prove that. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 6, in Galatians chapter 6 rather, I'm sorry, and verse number 1 and 2, Galatians chapter 6, watch this. And this is dealing with a sinful situation. You know, if you're living in sin, you should be brokenhearted. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, watch this. You who are churchy, you who are worldly, you who are carnal, you who are rich, you who are poor, you who are white, you who are black, you who are Hispanic, you who are Asian, none of those things are there, right? It says what? You who are spiritual. The spiritual should be the ones helping the brokenhearted. Why? Because they're always trying to look at this from heaven down instead of earth up. That's why when you think of death, death, brethren, when they die in the Lord, Revelation 14, 13, when we think about that, and you look at death the way that God looks at it, God looks at death in a way that we don't. Precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of his saints. Y'all remember that passage? And so even though we know that it hurts and we are brokenhearted because of it, brethren, God looks at it a different way in certain cases. But he never looks at it in a way that is good when they die outside of Christ. Put these in your notes. Don't have time to really go through these. Proverbs 15, 28. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Brother Mike, what does that have to do with bearing the burden of the brokenhearted? Again, it takes a skill. Brethren, we ought to be learning how to help people. Learn how to help people. Be a neighbor. Proverbs 27 and 10. Turn to Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12. In Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 through 12, here Solomon has these words to say, and I believe they're very beneficial. If I was to end the sermon with these words here, I believe it would be enough. He says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. The last thing you want to do is fall in sin and be by yourself, or fall because of a burden, or because of heartache, because of bad news. Brethren, you need people around you. You need the right people around you that's going to say the right words with the right ideas and the right motive behind it. Amen. When you fall, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about falling in sin. But when a person is down, we need somebody that's going to lift us up. And here he says, two is better than one. But woe to him. Look at the verse 10. Who is alone when he falls. For he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? They share their resources. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Brethren, God knows our hardships. Notice Psalm 56 and verse 8. Here the psalmist has this to say. And you remember that passage, God knows the number of hairs on your head, even for those of us who have bald spots. But Psalm 56, verse number 8 is so powerful. I learned this point here from a good brother, Brother Rollo, Jeff Rollo. He made this point years ago, and I've put it in the back of my mind. He says, "You numbered my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle." Look at this. "Are they not in your book?" Isn't that a beautiful passage? Can you imagine? Now think about this, brethren. The tears I shed when I'm brokenhearted, God knows about those tears. There's something personal about those tears. Just as he knows the names of the stars, I wonder how he identified those tears. Being the friend who champions God's wisdom. Brethren, when we consider James 3 and verse number 17, the wisdom that is first pure, peaceable, and gentle, we are a people who are championing the wisdom of God. I know it's difficult sometimes to know what to say in the midst of tragedy. But sometimes the best thing for us to do is to be opposite of Job's friends. Say nothing. Just put your arm around them. They would have been better off not saying anything. They didn't say anything. What was it, 7 days? I think it was something like that. They didn't say anything. They probably should have just kept quiet. But sometimes, brethren, it's okay to just say nothing. Psalm 43 in verse number 5, we're restoring hope when it's lost. Psalm 69, 1 through 3, even when grief and turmoil is consuming the individual, we come and we give hope. Brethren, being a servant requires wisdom. Being a servant, even when it's difficult, it's not always easy. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, I was telling y'all about a brother last week that always sends me this text. Let's read it together as I come to a close. Because when we consider this passage and how here we have Paul encouraging the church at Corinth, a divided people, but he says something. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Brother Mike, what are you saying? Brethren, I know it's difficult to be a servant of God at times. We don't have all of the words. We don't have the right words, but we have the word of God. But you have to spend time with it. You have to meditate on it. You got to think about it. And if anybody can help people out of a burden, it ought to be the God of heaven who's using us as his tools with the word of God. It's us. And so, we become all things to all men. We use God's word with wisdom, Proverbs 11 and verse number 30. Again, the more I was thinking about this situation this week, the more I was realizing how many people who were not directly affected by it needed encouragement because they didn't have the answers. That does not mean we have all of them. But we ought to have enough to help people through tragedy. Brethren, 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, "We're still the pillar and the ground of truth." If anybody needs any help, they ought to be able to find a member of the Lord's church. One of the downfalls that I saw this week when Governor Abbott and the whole entourage showed up in Duval, they have all of the stations set up, state officials. I'm not saying that those entities are not helpful, but not one time, Brother Glenn, not one time did he mention a religious group. Brethren, are we trying to help people without God now?
Not one time. I don't know about you, but that's sobering to me. Are we really running to God for help? Or are we using our wisdom, our degrees, our training? When I have those problems, you know where I run? To the Word of God. And I told a young lady, I said, the difference between your job and my job, their counselor, is that I'm trying to help people not come back to me. Most counselors, because they get paid to do it, you've got to keep coming back to them. We want you to get healed. We want you to have the right therapy. Matthew chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. Brethren, servanthood in the midst of tragedy, that's us. We're the servants. Let's get trained in the Word of God through experience. You may not always get it right, but at least you're trying. At least you're trying. Sister Evelyn and I didn't obtain this wisdom that we have with Jerry initially. 25 years of trial and error. Man, I wish I wouldn't have said it like that. I mean, that's what you learn from trial and error. It's when people don't learn. And so you've got to be in the business of learning God's words so you can help people. Because I don't know if y'all know this. In fact, I'll take that back. You see it because the world sees it now. This thing is so out of bounds that even the world is saying, what's going on? It's a stark contrast between good and evil. So here we are with the Word of God. Don't hide it. Let people know this is what God says about it. But you hide it. And you do what that man did when he went and shot up his kids. You use your free moral agency to help them with the Word of God. Not your time to be quiet. This is your time to say with us, said the Lord, let God do the healing. Because when it's all said and done, you're going to go home. They're going to go home. They're going to think about what you said. And it's going to be the Word of God that's going to help them, not you. They'll come back and say, thank you. And you're going to turn around and say, to God be the glory. I use this word. Now keep moving. You'll be all right. Before I give you the invitation, let's have a word of prayer. Our great God and Father, you've been so good to us. You allow situations to take place in this life in order for your light to shine bright. Father, at times we fail you because we are either ashamed or don't know how to deliver that light. We beg that you forgive us from that. Pray, Father, that you will help all of us as we're studying the Word, applying it to our lives and being the people you've called us to be. Help us to bear one another's burden. Help us to bear the burden of those who don't know Jesus, your Son, for the pardoning of their sin. To demonstrate to them that Christ lives in us, the hope of glory. To help them, to love them, to correct them, to nourish them. Father, we need all the help that we can get. Your word helps us. But we need help from your people. We need to build up one another, Father. We need your encouragement in that. Father, I ask that you be with this congregation and every congregation of your people that are doing what is right. For those that are not, pray, Father, that they turn from their wicked ways. We ask that, Father, for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, guidance, that we will triumph in truth. That we can help our fellow man with all of the tragedies that's going on around us. Help us to shine. Help us to be blameless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You're not a child of God who wants to consider the gospel, which is the death, burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, the kingdom of God. You can't separate the two. Really, this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get people to see all of this turmoil there. There's a place of peace. It's called the church. Church of Christ. The one that he suffered then and died. The one that he's going to come back for. So believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You wouldn't repent of sin. You wouldn't be immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and God will do something amazing in your life. He will wash away all your sins. Brethren, do you truly believe that when you're immersed in water for the remission of your sins, that God actually forgave you for everything that you've done? I mean, everything. That's amazing. Be faithful. What does it mean to be faithful? That when you sin against God, do what is faithful. Repent and confess. And God is faithful and just to forgive. He does that. So thankful. It's not something you want to get used to doing, but you want it there. And even John would say, I write these things unto you that you may not sin. But if any man sin, they have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He said, here, you don't really want to use this all the time, but if you need it, it's here. You don't have the worldly mentality, well, I'll sin and just ask God to forgive me. That's the wrong mindset. That's tragic. So you need someone to say, don't do that. As we stand, let's say, thank you.